John chapter 15, we're going to just read that one verse there in verse 7. Jesus says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." And verse 7 says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now, Jesus is teaching the disciples about prayer. We all desire to grow in our prayer lives. This is an area that we all want to abide in the Lord, and we want to see Him glorified. Well, it says there in verse 7, there's the promise, but we realize what is the reason? What is the reason for prayer? Why do we pray? You ever thought about that? Why do we pray? Well, verse 8 clarifies that. It is that the Father would be glorified, that His plan would be fulfilled through His children, through the branches that are bearing much fruit. That's the plan of the disciples. You see, prayer is more about the Father than it is about me. And I'm tempted sometimes to make prayer about me, to make prayer about one other person, or prayer about this church, or prayer about a situation it involves those things. Of course it does. But ultimately, prayer is all to glorify the Father. And that's where we want to grow, don't we? We want to grow in understanding that. And so it's fruit bearing. So number one, we looked at abiding in Christ. And we understand that as, say those three with me. Maybe we can just get those written in and put up on the screen. Maybe not tonight, but eventually. But the abiding life is lived out by, number one, what's the first way? Is dependence on Christ. Number two, it is what? Communion with Christ. And then number three, it is what? Obedience to Christ. Those things are present in the abiding life. Number two, we looked at Christ's words abiding in us. Would you hold your place there in John 15 and go over to Colossians chapter 3 there in the New Testament? Colossians is right past Corinthians. And then Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians, right after Philippians. Would you look at Colossians chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3 says here, "Let the word of Christ dwell." That's the word, same word that we find in John 15 over 15 times. Over 12 times, excuse me, in John 15, the word abide. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you." That's the believer. "Richly." I mean, saturated. "In all wisdom, and then teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." All right, that's chapter 3, verse 16, and then verse 17. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Do you see the connection here? As the word of Christ is dwelling in me, I am doing all things in His name. I am doing all things for His glory. And this is where we cannot miss this great importance when it comes to prayer. It is being saturated with the Word of God and such communion with God. By me abiding in Him and He abiding in me, this is going to help me to have the mind of the Lord. Now, the next point is this. In order to have God's desires and God's burdens and God's will in our life, praying the will of God, then it comes to asking. Now, this is where I want to kind of focus in on tonight. And that's the third point. You shall ask what you will. Well, what does that exactly mean? Going back to our passage in John 15, He says, "Ye shall ask what ye will. Now, is this just anything I want? Is this everything I want? Is this only what I want? No, he's saying, you ask what ye will. Well, my will, because of I'm abiding in Christ and Christ's words abide in me, I'm going to be asking His will ultimately. 1 John 5:14 teaches us that. I won't have you turn there for the sake of time, but jot that down, young people. Would you, the little ones that are in here, would you write that scripture reference down? 1 John, or you could write 1 John 5:14. It says this, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, it's interesting, this statement here, if you study the life of Jesus, Jesus never did anything apart from His Father's will. Jesus never did anything apart from His Father's will. In fact, Jesus really never did anything unless it was initiated by the Father. Jesus didn't come up with His own plan here on earth. No, the Bible says there is a continual practice of submission from the Son of God to God the Father constantly throughout His life. That's teaching us a very important truth when it comes to prayer. There's a spirit there that, Father, what I really want is Your will to be done, the Father's will. So what if we don't know the Father's will in a matter? Good question, right? What if we don't know? Now, let's go ahead and cover this, and I'm not going to preach this tonight, but we all agree there are some things that we know are the perfect will of God, right? Just name a couple, just right out the gate. Why don't you just kind of say them out loud? Yeah, salvation of souls. What else? Loving others. Good. What else? What was that? Yeah, truth. Telling the truth. Do not lie. What else? I'll give you a few here too. Filled with the Spirit. It's God's will to be. We can pray about being truthful, as was said. We can pray about giving. We know it's God's will for us to give the gospel. We can pray about that. Lord, it is Your will for me to give the gospel. So, Lord, I know You'll give me the courage, and I'm praying for it. Lord, help me in this. It's Your perfect will for me to share the gospel. Those things, you see what I mean? There's meat with that prayer because you know it's not ambiguous. We're going to get into the ambiguity here in just a moment. But right now we're talking about the specific, like also God's provisions. Lord, I know it's Your will that you will provide for me. Lord, your word says that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. That's in Christ Jesus. That God, You're going to provide for me. And so, Lord, I don't know how You're going to do that, but Lord, would You provide this for us? The provisions. What about this? What about loving my enemy? That's the will of God. He commands us to love our enemies. What about men loving your wife? That's true. Now, I hope those two are not in the same category, okay? But nevertheless, we know that, hey, love my men, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. God, I know that's Your perfect will. Help me to do that to the fullest extent possible in my life. And so we're not talking about that tonight because we know we should be praying that. We know we should be praying that. It is God's will for me to be reading the Word of God, getting it into my heart and my family's life. And we're gonna pray on that. But I want to spend just a moment here about those things that perhaps aren't as clear. How do we handle that? You're in a situation. And let me just put it this way. You may be in a situation, and let's just all be honest, because we've all faced these things, and maybe you're facing it right now. Is it best to pray specific request or just, Lord, Thy will be done? Yes. That's the answer. Because there are times we don't know the specific. We're not God. And I'm limited. And yes, God does make many things clear in Scripture. In fact, there's more that's clear than not in our life. If you think about it, all the commands and all the promises that God gives, we can pray on that and know it be the will of God. So let's be clear up here. There are many things that we don't have to pray about because we know it's commanded. But there are some things we don't know what God's will is in a situation. What about when it's taking a new job? What about when it's a move, a new move? Or what about these different situations that true life comes? What about a sickness in my life or in someone else's life? There's so many variables that come about our way, and we have to determine, okay, is it God's will to pray specifically here, or is it, Lord, just thy will be done? Well, I want to tell you tonight with great encouragement that it is God's will for us to be praying specifics. Specifics are really good, but we have to be careful. Because God is not Santa Claus, and prayer is not just giving us what we want. Prayer is not just giving us a list of our wants. Prayer is for the purpose of glorifying the Father, and it is us being a part of praying that that would be done. Because if you think of Jesus's pattern prayer, the first four of the model prayer is what? Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Worship to the Lord, glorious, holy God of heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Then what? Thy kingdom come. Lord, let your kingdom be advanced and spread around. This is all about you, Lord. It's not about me. It's about the gospel getting to a lost and dying world. You see, it's all focused on Him. Thy kingdom come. And then what's next? Thy will be done. The emphasis is on the Father. Lord, thy will be done. Here on earth as it is in heaven, the emphasis is on the glory and the will and the kingdom of the Father. And that's what Jesus' mind was always set upon. But sometimes we don't know exactly what the mind of the Lord is. And that's why I want to take you where I want you to. We got to come to the point where we do this. We have to sometimes, well, let's say all the time. We have to make sure that we are first surrendering our personal desires and that we trust Him to give us His desires if it doesn't match up with His. Now, I want to give you an example in Scripture. Would you turn with me as you hold your place there in John 15? Would you go over to Matthew 26? Matthew 26. Young people, you can write down Matthew 26:36. When you do that, Matthew 26:36. Very familiar passage here. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's there with His disciples and He has them sit there. And He goes and prays. And Peter and James and John are there in that vicinity. And Jesus began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he even said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." So we understand the weight of Jesus's emotions. And the agony of His soul is much deeper than we can ever comprehend tonight. It's to the point of death. This is not a figure of speech, church. Jesus is not, it's not a figure of speech here. He nearly is near death in this place because of what He knows is coming. That separation from the Father, the weight of all the sin of every human being is going to be placed upon Him. And he goes here and He went a little further in verse 39 and He fell on His face and He prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Now, we know in this context our Lord is going to pray three times. Each time, the first time after He prays in agony, we don't know the length necessarily, the exact length of time, but we do know that as He prayed, He got up and went back to check on the disciples, and we know that they were sleeping. One of the things that I studied in this that I'd never really thought about, you know, sometimes we can be really tough on those disciples, but you know, that's us many times. We need to be honest about that. But one of the things that's true probably about these disciples is that they also were probably struggling a lot with emotions. They were agonizing the things that were taking place, and as they were evolving, if you will, as they were beginning to come to a very stressful point in their lives. But nevertheless, Jesus came back, found them asleep. He says in verse 41, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So he went off the second time, and notice the second time Jesus says, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it," he says, "Thy will be done." Of course, he finds them asleep again. And then the verse 44 says he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words that are repeated in verse 42. There is a little slight difference from the first prayer and the second two prayers. They're pretty much identical. But I want us to see for a moment here that our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming to the Father, His Father, and we see His human side. Jesus is 100% God, and He's 100% human. And He's coming, and He's realizing the agony and the torture that awaits Him, the oppression of Satan and the demons of all hell are upon Him. And He comes with that question, "Father, is there any other way?" Now, I don't know for sure. This is my opinion. I don't know for sure. Was Jesus praying that because He was submitted to the Father? There's never a question whether or not He was submitted. He was simply asking, is there another way? If there were another way that the salvation could come, and we know that there's not. But even in His human side, He was saying, if there be another way, but nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. And then Jesus would say the next two times, "Lord, if I'm the only one that can take this cup, let me do it. Let me do it." And I just want to say that there are times in the prayer life that we don't know perhaps exactly what to do. And even from our human side, there seems to be things that we are just torn up about. But I believe at that point we come to the Lord and we say, "Lord, in the right spirit, I don't know if there's another way that this can come about. But Lord, if not, Your will is better." And I believe that as we come with that type of attitude, God will help us and He will bless us, I believe, for having that type of attitude. Because think about this. Someone prayed something like this: "Lord, You know what I hoped would happen in this situation or relationship." Just apply that to anything in your life right now. "As the best I can tell, my desires honored You. But I don't know everything You know. I acknowledge that Your ways are higher than my ways and Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts." Isaiah 55:9. "I also know You use the most unlikely means to accomplish the most beautiful ends. Help me trust You for my good and Your glory." That is the attitude of a prayer where you don't really perhaps know for sure, even from your human perspective, you don't know exactly what God has in store, but you're praying the best you can. And my point is this: you pray it. Pray it. Pray what you believe at that moment is God's will. But be humble about it, Lord. And this is not a cop out. I used to be critical of people that prayed something like this. But I do believe God can give you confidence. But be willing to say, Lord, sometimes, Lord, I don't really know for sure. But this is what I think at the moment. Now, there are times where God gives you more confidence than others. And as 1 John says, here's the confidence that we have in Him. That is, we ask according to His will. That is what we are really going for. But it's hard. Is it not? Is it not disappointing when prayers aren't answered the way we think? We all want to be honest about that tonight. It's disappointing. And you think, well, I thought I was right with the Lord, and I really thought that was really right, what God would have, you know, would honor God, and you go through these things, and you're like, man, that's where you have to realize God sees the bigger picture. I even think of, I was talking to Ken and I were talking just a little bit earlier today, because sometimes in politics it can get a little strange and sticky too, because from a conservative standpoint, we're praying for that presidential candidate or candidate that we believe would honor the Lord the most, and we pray and we believe that would honor God, and we get involved in that and we pray, and then they don't end up winning perhaps in some kind of situation. So what happened? Did God fail to hear us? Was our faith wrong? No, I believe this. The same thing, it goes back to God's being glorified. Many times in our prayer life, get this, many times in our prayer life, the Lord gives us an opportunity to trust in His sovereignty. And it brings glory to Him. When we don't see the whole picture, we don't see everything, we say, Father, I don't quite understand that, but I understand You. You are good. And You will do right. You will use this situation in my life and so many others, because God is over human politics. And knowing He uses both wins and losses and to fulfill at all times a larger or higher purpose and His grand plan. But get this, the goal of abiding life and the prayer life, the goal is always spiritual. The prayer is designed to not just change our circumstances, but really God is using it to change us. You better believe it, that in the times where I'm seeking God and you are seeking God, it is the Lord is changing us, helping our hearts to be submitted and obedient. So yes, back to specific outcomes. It is good to pray that as we are abiding in the Lord, not just for our selfish ambitions. We lay it before the Lord and we bring it with boldness. But back to our Lord. Was our Lord wrong? We know He wasn't wrong. He's perfect. Was He wrong in praying, would you let this cup pass from me? No. It was His human side and before us, I believe, even as an example to us. But He recognized that if there's anything that He wants that differs from what God has planned, we always, and I say we always, see God's will takes precedence over ours. That's what Jesus did. He said, Father, this is about You. I am called for this hour. And how can Jesus pray in such a way? Because He trusted His Father. That's what prayer comes back to, doesn't it? Trusting the Father. That is the only way we see this prayer in the garden. He honestly brought Himself to God in the agony of His soul. He never sinned, but He certainly said, Lord, if there be another way, not my will, but Thy will. He was honest, and God loves honesty. He wants us to come before Him with that. So I want to encourage us to pray for specific outcomes, for God's will, and we will trust. And because it comes back to who do I trust? Would I trust my will or would I trust God's will? God's will. I'm fallible. I'll give you a little bit of example. Just a very recent example. For our opening Sunday of our winter revival, Brother Paulie's going to be here. He makes it in, and I'm praying all at the men's prayer advance, and I feel like I'm on praying ground. I don't have any sin in my life that I'm aware of. I'm right with God. I'm praying. I say, Lord, you know, we've planned for this. We've given out invitations. We've invited people. Lord, could you just please move that snow around in such a way where it could just not close down the meeting? And it didn't happen that way. Now, the Lord did show mercy and kept the meeting open. We had an afternoon service and it was great and the Lord blessed. But one of the things that showed me there is we also had honored guest. We had Mrs. Wheeler here, who's on the school board, and we had Dr. Brown was here, and I'm thankful for that. But one of the things that Dr. Brown told me, he said, you know, I would not have been here if it wouldn't be for the snow. He said all my meetings were canceled. So I got to thinking about that later, and the Lord didn't answer my prayer according to my will. It was according to His, and His was even better. And I have to trust the Lord in that. That when it doesn't work out exactly like you had envisioned and what you were praying for, God's got something better. And Jesus prayed these things three times and He made it known, Lord, Your will be done. And His prayer prepared Him for this trial that He would be standing before, and for the crucifixion. It was the Lord. It was the Lord who made Himself available. Now, can I just say, this conflict is not sinful. Sometimes the devil gets on us and say, look at you. You're praying selfishly. You don't know what to pray. See, Mr. Spiritual, see, if you really are spiritual, this is what the accuser says. If you are spiritual, you're going to know exactly what to pray. Listen, be warned. Don't let that captivate you. We know there are the perfect will of God, but sometimes we don't. There's a conflict, and that's just your human side. Now, there are times where we can be selfish, of course, but just because you don't know exactly how to pray, that's when you just back up and say, look, Lord, I don't know, but I know Your word says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. So I know it's Your perfect will for me to have wisdom in this situation. I don't know exactly what to do, but Lord, I need wisdom to know how to pray. And God will give you that wisdom. He promises to. Commit your body, your mind, your soul to the Lord's will, and God will give you that wisdom that is so desperately needed. Submit your will to His. And if you're disappointed, trust the Father that He has a better plan and a bigger plan. As I mentioned earlier, there are many things that we're praying for here. Can I close out by directing you to a passage found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Would you turn there with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You young people are listening so well. I tell you what, you're some good Bible listeners. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to point to you here something very important when it comes to the prayer life. It says here in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, verse 9, but as it is written, he's referring to a passage in Isaiah, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I don't believe he's talking about heaven there. I believe he's talking about the walk with God, the abiding life, what we're desiring. Now, notice with me. But God hath revealed them unto us by what? Say that with me, church. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Now, it's the Spirit of God that's going to do a deep searching work in your heart, in my heart. Notice what it says here. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? He's talking about the human spirit and God's Spirit speaking to the human spirit. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's talking about the lost man, who has not the Spirit of God. The natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now get this. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now get verse 16. Please don't miss this. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He's talking about the spiritual man and woman can have the mind of Christ and the things in this world as we are learning to abide in Him. He is growing us. He's bringing things to mind. It's a journey, brethren. I'm not preaching a formula tonight. I'm just talking about learning to walk with God and being so close in communion with Him, one with the Father, one with the Son, one with the Spirit, as we walk through this life. Yes, we're imperfect. Yes, we're fallible. Yes, we're finite. But as we walk with God, we get to know Him more and more and more. And we begin understanding His ways better and better and better. But it comes from the abiding life. It comes from abiding in Him and His words abiding in us. The spiritual things, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to help us to know how to pray. One more and we'll be done. Look at Romans chapter 8. Would you flip back one book to Romans chapter 8? You know where I'm going. You Bible students know where I'm going. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, you say when it comes to the more ambiguous areas of prayer where we're not exactly certain and how to pray and what do we do, notice what the Holy Spirit does for us in verse number 26. It says verse 26 here, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. That's our weaknesses. Hey, that includes when we don't know what to do. Does anybody relate with that? When you don't know what to do, that's an infirmity. God, what do we do here? It says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Lord, I don't know how to pray now. I don't know what to pray. Oh, this is such good news for the believer. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's when the Spirit of God takes the groanings of our heart and takes them to the throne of grace, to the Lord and to the Father. And notice verse 27, it says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And when we are praying, brethren, we are seeking to understand that even when I don't know, when my motive is pure, and when I'm coming to God with a certain matter, whatever it is, big or small, the Holy Spirit is praying for me. And He's going to pray the perfect will of God. And Romans 8:28 falls right after verse 27. And what does it say, church? And all things work together
for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose. Trust God with our prayer life. There are times where we're not sure, but it's okay. Pray what you know is the will of God, which is hundreds of topics, hundreds of disciplines and characteristics are so clear. Let's pray them with authority. God, this is your will. I know it's your will for me to grow in grace. I know it's your will, Lord, for people to be saved. I know it's your will for me to love like Jesus, Lord. And I can pray with authority, but there are some things that I'm going to have to wait on the Holy Spirit to impress upon my heart. And I'll come to God and I can come with boldness. But there are times that I may be off, and that's okay, because I'm going to be a place, nevertheless, my will, thy will be done. That's freeing, is it not? I hope I've made some sense tonight. I hope that I've been an encouragement in this area of the prayer life. Because God wants us to be seeking Him together, seeking Him as a church, seeking Him as families. It is the Lord's will, the abiding life. So tonight, I would love for us to have a prayer commitment. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, this is what I mean. I want us to begin seeking to pray more so in line with the Father, and seeking to bring our requests first and foremost under line with the Father. Young people are coming in. But I also want to make it a point that we emphasize this with our children. We emphasize this in the prayer time with the family altar. And so I'm going to ask if there could just be some that would join me here in just a moment at the altar as we pray. Maybe some of our young people want to do that as well. We will pray. And understand that the abiding life will produce the prayerful life. There are many mysteries out there, brethren, when it comes to the prayer life. But I think it just like when God says, dig into the treasures of His Word, I believe He's wanting you and me to dig into the treasures of the prayer life, of the abiding life. So tonight, I don't know where your prayer life is. I'm not doing a test here. I'm not doing a survey. I'm not going to ask you how many minutes you pray a day, because truly that's between you and God. Okay? But I do want to emphasize this is an area we really need to practice. Jesus said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I believe God, Jesus meant every word He said, and I want to take Him at His word. And so let's bring our hearts before the Lord tonight in prayer, and just want to ask the Lord to help us. So at this time, if you would like to join me here at the altar, or stay where you are, it doesn't matter. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer.